I got this crazy picture up here of a mountain. This does not look like Independence, right? We might get snow, but not that, right? But I want you to picture for a second a survival scenario. May not happen to any of us. But if you were stuck in an avalanche and a ton of snow comes down, stirs you all up, buries you in snow, does anybody know, before you start trying to dig yourself out, what's one of the first things you should do? I thought you guys might say pray. I thought, what is Mabel going to say? I said, I bet they say pray. That's a good answer. I don't want to say that's the wrong answer as your pastor, right? Praying's probably the best idea. What else should you do besides pray? So Mike had the right answer, or so did Connie, I think. No. Who? Yes, right there. So, yeah. Yes. So, Maishree, what are you saying? Maishree saw a survival show, but she's maybe in the right direction or not. What Mike said is actually what I've always heard is the first thing you should do, is you're all twisted up and turned, and before you start digging, like Maishree is so eager to do, you should actually do what your mom and your first grade teacher never wanted you to do, which was spit. And the reason you should spit is we can be really confident we know what way is up, especially when we're terrified and we're desperate to get free. We just want to do what we think is the next right thing. And people can dig down instead of up because they're so turned around. But gravity still works, even when you're buried in snow. And so if you'll spit first, like gravity will show you, it'll be your little compass, like which way is up, right? So I know that sounds silly and whatever, and you're like, Jake, I'm not going to be in an avalanche, right? Like that's not going to affect me. Here's the thing. There's going to be a time in your life where everything gets turned around and you're in a panic. And you might think you know where you need to be and be actually pretty wrong, right? And if you just start Maishree-ing, like I saw this on TV, I know what to do, you could be headed in the wrong direction, right? So what we're going to be talking about today is not only do you know where you need to get to, but do you know where you're actually at? Like, do you know yourself and know where you need to get to, right? When we go to a map, it always has the, like, you are here, if it's trying to help us out, right? You got to know that. You got to know who you are, where you're at, and where to get to. So we're starting a Christmas series right now. We can go to this next slide. It's called Preparing the Way, and we're going to do it through Christmas and actually one more week after Christmas. We're not going to be talking about nativity or the beginning chapters of Luke. We're actually going to be talking about John the Baptist. It's this guy that God called to prepare the way for Jesus. And hopefully in December, you're trying to focus on Jesus, right? And focus on that God came to earth as a human for us. But this year, I really want us to talk through, like, who was this guy that God called to set the stage for Jesus? And if we're trying to have more Jesus in our life, can we learn something from John the Baptist and what he did? So I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1. We're very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And it's a great place to start reading. The Gospel of Mark is a phenomenal gospel. It's very action-oriented. It's very easy to read. And it gets right to the point right out of the gate. It doesn't start with son of who and son of this. It starts right away with who is Jesus, right? And it's very important to know who you are. You got to know who Jesus is too, right? As Christians, we believe like Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, right? He's the pioneer. He's the one that we're trying to follow. So hopefully you're there. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 1, Mark's going to tell us right out of the gate, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, and we're going to pause on this verse for a second, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. So if you read the Gospel of Mark, right at the beginning, he's talking about Jesus being the Son of God. Right in the middle, he's talking about Jesus being the Messiah. Right at towards the end, as Jesus is on the cross dying, he's got this declaration again about, like, surely this is the Son of God. Mark really wants us to get at this idea. Who is Jesus? Jesus is not just a nice guy. He's not just a good guy. He's not just somebody that you should think of once a year. Jesus is the Savior and the King, right? Lord and Savior. So when you're in a huge crisis, Jesus is the one that can help you like nobody else, right? I was with somebody just in the hallway here, and they had a crisis I didn't even fully understand, but they were very worried, and we prayed about it. And God solved it within seconds. I didn't even have to understand exactly what was happening, and God solved it. It was wonderful, right? When you're in trouble, you should be going to Jesus. But also, Messiah means King, right? You should be doing the things that Jesus says, right? Son of God gets into this idea of like, Jesus is special. Jesus is begotten of God. He's the same as God, right? So that's right out of the gate. Mark chapter 1 tells us, who is Jesus? He's the Messiah, the Lord and Savior, the Son of God. Verse 2 is going to be getting into John the Baptist. As it was written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. That's quoting Malachi right there. And then on to quote Isaiah next in verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So these are prophecies from the Old Testament that John the Baptist fulfills. So Mark's saying right off the bat, like, here's some scripture, and this is the guy who's going to do those things. So John's called to be a voice. He's called to speak out of the wilderness as a prophet, and he's called to prepare the way for Jesus. If you've ever like ridden a bicycle where there's no path, it's crazy and bumpy, and you don't go very fast, and it's easy to fall. And if you go down a smooth road, it's a whole different experience, right? And somebody that couldn't handle a mountain bike could probably handle riding down a paved road, right? There's this idea that like John the Baptist was going to come and help people that wouldn't be able to get to Jesus without his help. He was going to help them be able to go on the path to get to Jesus, right? So that's his mission, that's his calling. Verse 4 goes on to talk to us about him. And so, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John came, he started to talk to people about, you need to change your actions. You've not been living right. And we're going to kick off that change by saying you need forgiveness and let's get baptized, right? So that's what John was doing. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside, that's like the whole area around him, and all the people of Jerusalem, that's the big cultural center right there, went to John, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him into the Jordan River. So this is, John is living out the thing he's called to do. Verse 6. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. On social media or different things or whatever stuff you're doing online, sometimes with your thumbs you'll be typing out like a who am I, right? So this is John's like profile is what are the details we're going to give of this guy? He wears clothes like nobody else wears, made out of a camel, right? I mean, it sounds uncomfortable. Lance is itching already, right? You know, like he's got a good imagination, right? So he's wearing camel's hair. He's got a belt. And then he eats locusts and wild honey, right? So he's not on low carb, he's not vegan, but it's pretty strange, right? Like, so here's an interesting thing to just note real quick about John. John is doing exactly what God called him to do, and John is pretty weird. And those things aren't exclusive of each other, right? Some of us are working so hard to knock off our edges or to fit in with somebody else or some get into some cool group or impress somebody. It seems like John was really hitting the target on what God called him to do, and he wasn't spending a lot of time on anything else. It feels like, you know, like imagine if you spent less time worrying about clothes or the impression you're making on other people or just being normal. You know, if you spent less time on all that and more time on like, am I doing the thing that God's called me to do? John got that right, and he did a lot of other weird stuff. And like, that's actually, Jesus speaks really highly of John, right? Also, real quick aside, there might be somebody that's really weird in your life that Jesus thinks really highly of, right? So it gives us some humility, right? To think like, if you had met John, you would have thought he was weird. There's maybe someone in your life right now that you're ready to write off that Jesus is like, that's the best person in Independence, right? Because Jesus says super high compliments to John, right? Okay, verse 7. And this was John's message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. We're going to pause. What we know about John so far is literally there's verses from the Old Testament about him, right? There's no verses where you could say like, oh, Isaiah 33:3 is about Jake Taylor or something. You know, like that doesn't happen, right? You know, there's verses that God's been setting up John's life for a long time. Everybody around him's attracted to him. He doesn't have to fit in with style or whatever. Like people are coming and listening. But does that go to his head? His message is about how amazing Jesus is and how he's not amazing. The stuff you've been, the reels you've been watching or the stuff that you're taking advice from, my guess is it's not this huge amount of humility of I'm not special, Jesus is special. But that was John's message, is that Jesus was going to have real power. And if we'll get into some more of John's message. John's very courageous, very powerful. He confronts a lot of people. He's very aggressive. But he knows that Jesus has real power way beyond what he has, right? He's going to talk to us a little more about it. It's our last verse, verse 8. I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, sometimes we read stuff in the Bible and we read it real quick and we think we know what it means. I would encourage you to slow it down when you're reading the Bible. It's okay to not fully understand what stuff means. It's okay to think there's some mystery to that or there's more for me to discover, right? So the best way I can explain this passage is it matters to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've done stuff wrong. Jesus, I want you to show me a better way to live. I want to follow you. And Jesus, I want to get baptized because of that, right? Like I want to have a ceremony where we say I'm dead to my old life and I want to have a new life. That is all very important. Jesus does something that no person could do. Jesus can come in and put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And there's a spiritual baptism, right? And different Christians will debate a lot of details here, right? One time we were doing pulpit swap, I had to preach on this passage across the street at the Assembly of God Church. It was like, why are they having the Baptist preacher preach about baptism of the Holy Spirit at the Assembly of God Church? You know, it was cool that God did that, but I don't know. Anyways, what I'll say is I've got Christian brothers and sisters that disagree on some details about how does this stuff work. All Christians can agree that Jesus needs to do something inside of you to where his spirit lives inside of you. And that's what Jesus does. Like, you're not right with Jesus if Jesus is not living inside of you. Okay? So it's not about anything that happens on the outside is only good if it changes the inside where God lives inside of you. You should know, like, I'm a different person than I was before. Now, if you've said to Jesus, I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior, and Jesus has come inside of you and given you his spirit, then you're a new person. And you're on this journey to figure out, who am I? Who does God want me to be? I'm now a child of God. How's that supposed to actually work? And we see glimpses of it around Maywood, right? You see people who used to be drug dealers, right? And now they were splitting families apart. I remember talking up the street at a restaurant with a Maywood guy that had been a drug dealer. And he said, you know, people talk about a mother's love is the most powerful force in nature. He's like, that's not true. I've seen moms addicted to meth want meth way more than they want their kids. You know, it's like, wow, this is a depressing conversation as we're eating tacos, right? But to see Jesus get a hold of that guy, and instead of dealing that sort of destruction, now there's new life coming, right? Families being restored, right? There's things that Jesus can do to people that person was only destroying other people until Jesus got a hold of them, right? But if you're here today and you're like, maybe you don't know fully what Jesus wants you to be doing. And unless you're running around like John the Baptist, having lots of stuff that God's doing through you, maybe there's still stuff for you to learn about what is your calling, what is your purpose, right? So I've been blessed to have Coach Bob be my mentor. I've been blessed to have great parents. Other than Bob and my parents, there's a guy that had a huge impact on me. He's no longer with us. He's in heaven. But like, I want to take you through something he took me through that really helped me over a period of some years figure out what's my identity, right? Not that I got it all figured out, but these questions were helpful for me. I'm going to give you these questions. They don't work unless you work it, right? It's like the AA phrase. But like, these are questions from Joey Butler. And the reason I put a Bible up there is by the time Joey was giving me these questions, he'd already been around me a lot, and he'd already set the tone of this expectation he had that I was reading my Bible every day, and I was trying to do what Jesus told me to do. The trying is an important phrase there, right? You know, I was messing up a lot, right? But you can control whether you read the Bible each day or not, right? I'm not saying how much you got to read, but you can control that you do some sort of time in the Bible each day. And then you can control whether you're attempting to obey. You need Jesus' help to actually obey, but you can take a crack at it, right? If you're not doing that stuff, these questions from Joey are not going to be very helpful. Like, they're assuming that you're already doing that. They're assuming you're trying to get to know Jesus better and do what he says. And if you're here and you're like, I don't know how to read the Bible, it just confuses me. That serve team that Joe was talking about, they do a real simple Bible reading thing every Sunday, right? Like, come be a part of that. Or come talk to somebody else about how do I do this, right? But assuming you guys are doing that stuff, I want to take you through these questions, okay? And we're going to hit them pretty quick, but you got those little notepads in front of you. You can write these things down, right? First one Joey talked to me about is, who are you according to Scripture? Now, John the Baptist had literal verses about him. But Joey would talk to me about John the Baptist, and then he would say, you should be on the lookout for the Holy Spirit to lay a passage on your heart. Like, Jake, this is who you are. And I remember Joey telling me this, and me reading my Bible, like, looking for, like, God, who am I? And it didn't come right away. So I don't want to promise you, like, oh, man, if you do this for 6 days, you're going to have all the answers, right? But I do think if you're hungry to say, like, Jesus, tell me who I am and help me have a verse to hold on to, I think it can really help you. And like, if you get into this and you try this and you want to have a conversation with me, I'll tell you about the verses that God laid on my heart, right? It's worth more of a one-on-one conversation. But who are you according to Scripture? It should be you're reading a passage of Scripture and the Holy Spirit jumps something off the page. And you're like, man, I've had these experiences in my life with God that fit this. And I see how God's calling me to go further, but I already see, like, that's in me, right? And if you try it and you're not figuring it out, I can talk to you about it more if you want to pull me aside and ask me. But who are you according to Scripture? So you're searching the Bible, trying to say, like, which of these verses is God saying, hey, Jake, this is you? Or, hey, Ernie, this is you, right? Okay? Next question we got here. What are some of the passages from the Bible or the people from the Bible or the stories from the Bible that stick with you, that inspire you, right? It's like, I've always loved John chapter 9, where like the blind man sticks his neck out for Jesus and gets into a lot of suffering because he does that. And he doesn't know much about Jesus, but he does what he can and he suffers for it. And Jesus has this like awesome loyalty to the guy. You don't see Jesus very often like doing a U-turn and going back to talk to somebody again. But Jesus goes and seeks this guy out after he hears that the guy stuck his neck out for him. I just love like the loyalty that Jesus shows in that passage, right? Maybe what's the passages for you that inspire you, right? Maybe it's Joseph in the Old Testament and how lots of people abused him, but he kept doing the next right thing, and that gave God an open door to do wonderful things. All those plans for evil turned out to be a plan for good because he kept his faith, right? So if, for you, as you're reading the Bible, what sticks with you above the others, right? You start reflecting on that. Our third one here is going to have some verses and stuff. There's a lot going on this slide. But it says, what are your gifts according to Scripture? Now, gifts, it's when Jesus puts a piece of himself inside of us. And I've got four passages there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and also a few other passages. those talk to us about spiritual gifts, and they talk to us about, like, every single Christian is given something of the Holy Spirit that's like the manifestation of Jesus. So when Matt is operating in his spiritual gift, it's as if Jesus is right here doing that thing. And if you have open eyes at Maywood, there'll be times where you see, like, man, Jesus shines through that person when they do that thing. And none of us are the whole package, but you'll see it. You'll see glimpses of Jesus through Eric or through Rose or through different people, right? If you're looking. That's a spiritual gift. And you'll experience it yourself. If you try to serve Jesus, at times you'll be like, man, that felt different. That felt really good, and it felt like I was way better at it than I should have been, right? And it had fruit like I wasn't expecting. Something else to point out about those four passages is they'll give you lists of, like, prophecy or teaching or hospitality. They'll give you these lists of what are some of the spiritual gifts. All the lists are different. None of them are exactly the same as each other. And why is that? Is one of the passages wrong or something? I don't think so, right? I think these passages are to teach us the principles about spiritual gifts and to give us some examples. It's not to give a limiter or a fence for the Holy Spirit, right? Like, God could do all sorts of stuff, whatever he wants to do, right? He may put a spiritual gift in you that's not specifically in one of those lists, but I think that's why those lists are all different, is they're showing us, here's examples, right? Anything that is of Jesus could come through a Christian as a spiritual gift, right? So then, after you kind of have a guess at some of your spiritual gifts, then you start looking at what are Bible stories that utilize those gifts, right? If you feel like you have the gift of teaching, then look at some Bible stories where somebody uses the gift of teaching, and what can you learn from there that helps you be who you're supposed to be? A couple more questions here, then we're going to wrap up with a final thought. So what are the consistent threads of what God's been doing in your life? So Jesus at one point gets mad at some religious people, and he says, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. So we need to know the Bible as followers of Jesus, but we also need to know what is God doing right now in our lives and around us. And so pay attention. I was hearing some small group leaders talking about journaling earlier today. Like, pay attention. What's God been doing over the course of your life? Maybe over and over when you host people, it changes their life. Or over and over when you confront somebody, they actually listen to you and change. Right? Like, pay attention. What are the threads where it's like, huh, God's used me in the same way that's not quite the way that he uses most other people? Pick up on that stuff, right? Like, pay attention to what God's been doing. Last question for us. This is almost the same one, but it's just a little more focused in on the present. What's God been doing? So, if you look around and you're like, man, God's really doing a lot of stuff through this particular ministry at Maywood. Or God keeps teaching me the same thing over and over. Or God keeps laying on my heart this one particular family. Like, pay attention. Like, what is God up to that you can notice? And you're like, hey, that's God at work. If you don't know what to do, try to see, like, what's Henry Blackaby, I think, says, like, pay attention, where's God already moving, right? And join in. Like, could do a lot worse than, like, God's up to something over there. I'm going to go be a servant in that area. I'm going to sweep the floors at the same place where I see God answering prayers or whatever it might be, right? So those are some questions. Some of you I know are, like, writing it down, and you're like, oh, man, like, I'm excited to go read the Bible. Others of you are like, you know, I kind of lost my interest after the spit stuff, Jake. So if we just pull it back in. If you're here today, and you're like, I'm not thinking about 5 years from now, right? I got too much of a problem right now. We read the first 8 verses of Mark. I want to challenge you to read the rest of Mark and to say, rest of Mark chapter 1. It's just about a page, maybe 2 pages. Read the rest of Mark 1 and say, Jesus, I want to know you. Because the rest of Mark 1 has a lot of interesting stuff. It talks about Jesus and angels and animals and temptation and the devil and healings and mother-in-laws. There's like all sorts of stuff going on, right? And so if you need something right away, like, that's okay. Like, Jesus sees you need something right away and the door's open for you, right? Say, Jesus, I want to know you, and then read Mark chapter 1. Okay? One more slide. Some of you might be mad at me about this last slide. So Joey's five questions. If you use your little phone, or if you want to pick up a sheet over here, I've got all those questions and those verses written out. And some of you are like, oh man, thank you for the mercy. Like, I was too lazy and you saved me, Jake. I'm actually curious now that we're done. And, you know, you didn't trust me at the front for it to be worth writing down, but maybe now you've heard it all. You're like, oh, I wish I would have wrote it down. Some of you, though, are resentful. You're like, I wrote it down. Yeah, the debate is like that. Here's what I want to tell you. There's a verse in Proverbs, and I don't know the exact phrase, or the exact address, sorry. But it's in the book of Proverbs here in the Bible. And it says, all hard work brings a profit for those who will be trained by it. So here's the idea. If you took the time to write it down, it's actually with you, Nevaeh, better than it will be if you just pick it up off of here, right? So, and some of you, maybe you need to hear that proverb more than anything else I said. You're grinding at something that seems worthless right now, but that verse matters. Like, if you'll be trained by God while you work hard, God will mold you. Even if your boss is a bad guy or whatever else, like whatever else injustice is going on in your life, if you'll work hard and say, Jesus, please train me, Jesus will mold your heart. Like, the working hard matters, right? So let go of the resentments and just say, like, Jesus, I worked hard at that. Like, make something of it, okay? I want to pray a blessing over you guys. If you bow your heads with me. Jesus, I pray for every single person in here who wants to know who they are. Jesus, I pray you would teach them who they are so that they can follow you. And Jesus, even more than that, for everybody who wants to know you, Jesus, I know that you will show yourself to them. I pray today you would show yourself to them. It's in your name we pray. Amen.